The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came and called out, "Have pity on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not say a word in answer to her. Jesus' disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, for she keeps calling out after us." He said in reply, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did Jesus homage, saying, "Lord, help me." He said in reply, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Then Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And the woman's daughter was healed from that hour. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It isn't often when we see all three readings with a common theme, but that's what we have today. The good news is while God first meant for salvation to be through the Israelites, all who follow the Lord will be saved. That means you and me. And that is the common theme in today's readings. In our first reading, Isaiah is telling us we are all meant to be God's people. We must remember that this was written at the time of Israel's return to Jerusalem and rebuilding the temple following the Babylonian captivity. The thought prior to this time was God's chosen people, the Israelites, would be saved simply by living as an Israelite and through sacrificing. Isaiah reveals more of God's plan by saying even foreigners who keep the Sabbath and hold to God's covenant will be saved. Additionally, the foreigners will minister to him. Here, the Hebrew word shevet was used, which implies priestly labor. Priests were considered servants of the Lord. So this means that in a later time period, foreigners, read Gentiles, will not only be able to worship God, but will also serve in a priestly capacity. God's house of prayer will be for all peoples, and even the priests need not be Israelites. Fast forward a number of years, and we hear Paul, in his letter to the Romans, stressing that he is speaking to the Gentiles, and that they too can receive the gifts via the call from God. You might recall that Paul was a devout Jew that persecuted the early Christians prior to his conversion. With a complete change of heart, we can see that Paul was rubbing the Jews' noses in the fact that Gentiles could be saved. He was hoping to make them jealous of the fact that they could be saved in order to also get the Jews saved. Even Matthew, who speaks to the Israelites in his gospel, spends time on this topic. The topic of Jesus expanding his mission to the Gentiles. Not in today's reading, but in Mark's gospel, we see that when Jesus drives the merchants out of the temple, he tells them, "My house shall be a house of prayer for all the nations." Wow. This sounds like the words we just heard from Isaiah when he writes, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." Does this sound like a further revealing of God's plan for all of us? I think so. Point number one, which is a common theme through our three readings, is that salvation is meant for everyone, and that includes you and me. Based on other readings in the Bible, what should we think of the Canaanites? Nothing good. They were descendants of Noah via Ham and Canaan. Ham was that son who saw Noah naked, and Canaan was cursed because of it. The Canaanites, descendants of Canaan, were basically in the way of the Israelites when they were brought to the Promised Land. And yet, God used a Canaanite woman in our gospel. What does this teach us? I think it shows how important faith is. And that's point number two, the power of faith. Here we see a Canaanite woman's faith. She asks not once, but three times, showing how we must persist and have faith, even when it does not seem our prayers are being answered. What an example she is. She recognizes Jesus as the Messiah when she says, "Have pity on me, Lord." She expresses her need, prayer, in clear, simple words when she says, "Lord, help me." And she persists despite obstacles when Jesus disagrees with her, answering that even dogs eat scraps, when Jesus states that he was sent for the lost sheep of Israel. Persistent faith is what this looks like to me. If we were so persistent and faithful, we would get similar results. Point number three is rather interesting. Here is an example where Jesus lost an argument with a woman. I didn't have knowledge of any arguments that he lost with men. But this was the second time he lost one with a woman. The first, of course, was when he first disagreed with his mother concerning the wine at the wedding feast of Cana. Men, take note. If Jesus can't win them all, neither can we. More seriously, here too is an example where faith alone was not enough to heal the woman's daughter. She had to act on that faith and pursue it with Jesus, who performed the miracle of healing. What does it all mean? If you want to be saved, you can be. There is no better way than through the church that Jesus founded, the only church in existence since Jesus, and the true church that grants us graces through his sacraments. Keep your faith, exercise your faith, and be persistent. Last week, we saw how taking our focus off of Jesus and concentrating on the storm caused fear to sink. Be persistent in focusing on Jesus and praying, and even if you are male, you might be listened to.